In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. This week, the harrowing and tragic story of the short and much fought over life of baby Charlie Gard came to an end with his death in a hospice following the removal of his breathing tube on Friday. His life was precious, so precious that his parents spent much of it, or so it seems to the world, fighting about it. The news articles that I have read about him and his family have timelines running back from March of this year, and the parents' appearances at the High Court have been frequent and difficult in recent weeks. Here was a life played out in public, a tragedy of Shakespearean proportions which today's media has allowed us all to watch and become involved in, including the President of the United States through one of his ubiquitous tweets, and the Pope. What is clear, I think, is that everyone wanted what they thought was best for baby Charlie, and yet even to the manner of his death, they could not agree what that was. And so a public debate about the ethics of who should have the final say over the life of a child has ensued. It is this kind of conundrum with which many are faced day after day. How do we decide who is right in our ever-changing world, where most of the issues with which we will have to deal are far beyond the scope of the biblical landscape of life in which Jesus lived and taught his disciples? How do we find the frameworks to think about such issues in the context of our faith? The parable of the mustard seed, which we have just heard read, is one of my all-time favourite parables. I want to roll it around in my brain and play with it in much the same way as I want to play with some of my most favourite, wonderful, poetic words. It seems so simple, and yet for me, it is so profound. Let's hear it again. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in it. There is just so much in it. How do we begin to think about the kingdom of God? What pictures does that paint in your head? And then that leads me to think about what a mustard seed is like. Now, I am not a gardener. Indeed, I am so much not a gardener that I have been known to leave the weeds and pull up the flowers. But I know, because I have researched it, that mustard seeds really are incredibly small. And yet, as the gospel passage suggests, the trees grow to about 9 feet or maybe even more tall, and are really rather wide as well. I have, frankly, no idea what a mustard bush or tree looks like. But that doesn't stop me seeing birds enjoying themselves in it and imagine it providing well-earned shade for those working in the fields. I find that I can paint a whole idyll in my brain around the small seed bringing forth something that is all-encompassing. And it seems to me that this is what the passages that we have heard today are all about. The way in which we who have faith, even faith as small as a mustard seed, should begin to grow and understand that the kingdom of heaven, the place where God rules and reigns, is here now because Jesus is followers, because we are here now. God needs to rule the way in which we run our lives, and this is not always easy. Partly, I suspect, and certainly for me, because I want to kick against rules, and I suspect that other people here often do too. But it is also because God's rules are not always absolutely clear and self-evident in our complicated world. But what the parables that we have heard today tell us is that the kingdom of heaven is without price. We would and we should let go of all that we have to possess it and become part of it. And part of seeking the kingdom of God is seeking, like Solomon, for wisdom from God in all that we do. For so much in our world, we need the wisdom of Solomon to discern the best way forward. God was pleased with Solomon because he asked for the understanding to discern what was right. And this is surely what we need today. Sometimes life is difficult to figure, and that the things that we face are a challenge. It is then that the knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ is very comforting. No matter how hard we struggle, and no matter how complicated and difficult life can sometimes seem, we can know that God's love is always there for us, and nothing can separate us from it. Yet it may not always feel like that, because sometimes what we face day in and day out challenges our assumptions and asks us to review what we think and why. The parents of Charlie Gard plan to set up a foundation in his name with the rest of the crowdfunding money they raised for his treatment. They want to see something positive come out of his short life. And I hope and pray that, as well as bringing hope to others, this will give them some comfort. And I think that this describes well the task that we have today as Christians, as we seek to live out our lives in the way that God would have us. We need to seek out the good things in our lives and keep them, and like the fish in the parable, to throw out the bad. For many of us, though, defining good over bad is not always easy. That we should not murder or hurt others or steal seems obvious, and I dare to add, relatively easy and straightforward. But there are issues which are much more nuanced and difficult to judge. And clearly the moral and ethical ones of the type that Charlie Gard's life has raised are some of those. As a society, we need to think about who has the right to say who lives and who dies, and how, and in a world in which we can increasingly keep people alive when years ago they would have died, we need to ask the question, how is this to happen? How are we to enable the National Health Service to pay for the wonderful developments in care that there are? Are we willing to pay more tax and national insurance for these developments? Or, like those aged between 39 and 47, and here I would like to add, is one of the first times that I have ever been pleased to be old. Are we, like those who are aged between 39 and 47, left with no doubt that, like them, we will all have to work longer in order for things to be paid for? How are we to come to these decisions as a society, as individuals? Clearly, the Bible does not offer straightforward answers to these questions, because for them the questions did not exist. But it does give us principles which can help us to work out what we feel about such matters and how we thus should live. After this service, the Link group, which meets to work with our friends in Machingo, will meet. And together we will discuss how best to take this link forward and how to deal with the request for money for things in their parishes and schools, which are so important, that our friends and colleagues in Mashingo have sent. In comparison to us, many there have so much less. Their lives seem more fragile because of that. Schooling is harder to get to and to afford, and healthcare is often a very long walk away. Yet their faith and certainty in God seems to me to be much more alive and real than mine, or at least that's how it seems whenever I have been there. Living with so much less somehow seems to make God more immediate and significant in everyday life. Our challenge here, now, today, or so it seems to me, is to see the things in our lives which, like the pearl of great price, we need to give up in order for the kingdom of God to flourish in our lives, in our community, and in our world. In many of us, the mustard seed of faith has been planted, and what we need to do is to ensure that the tree that could grow is nurtured and watered, such that our faith and our community can become welcoming and attractive to all. May it be so, in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen.